reading of God's Word. We are in Matthew today, the book of Matthew, in chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew 16, and we will read verses 23 through 26. So Matthew 16, 23 to 26. I will read the odd verses. Let's read the even verses together, just these four verses. And the Bible says in Matthew 16, verse 23, "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men." Together. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege that we have to be here. And as Brother Vaught mentioned, we thank you for an old-fashioned church, an old-fashioned book. And God, we're thankful that you are a God that changes not. I pray that you would please be with this time as we open up your word and as we hear preaching from God's man. And Lord, please help us to have open ears, open minds, and open hearts to hear exactly what you have for us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
See our Savior hung between two thieves. Hear the soldiers mock his name. See his followers as they cry in disbelief. This could not be the reason why he came. See him realize his life is through. Just read. remember that the debt for your sin was paid in full.
All right, thank you for that. Seems like the things in life that are best for us are the things that we like least, right? Like vegetables. By the way, there's a reason we don't sell spinach in the vending machines, okay? Children don't like that. How about naps? It's amazing how little kids hate naps. It's like when we get an adult, it's like, can I get one, you know? It's like, I always tell them, it's like, look, one of these days you're going to wish you would have taken these naps. That's just how we are. It just seems like our flesh, there's things that are best for us, and we just, for whatever reason, we don't like it. You know, I've noticed that most Christians, they bring that mentality into their Christianity. I call it the, I don't like that mentality. That's not good for us. The scripture we read, that Joseph read for us, Jesus had just had been talking to his disciples, and he asked them, who did people think that he was? And they gave some thoughts. Some thought he was John the Baptist come back from the dead, or Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And Peter stepped up and gave the right answer. Peter says, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, Peter just stepped right up and hit the nail right on the head. He was absolutely right. Now Jesus is going to start and had started to tell them exactly what was coming. His death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. Now, why he was with them, he had alluded to it on several occasions, but now he is point blank. This is what is going to happen. Ambiguity or whatever, where it's less like it's out. No, this is what I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again from the grave. But Peter didn't like that. And Peter, not being one to hold his thoughts, told Jesus exactly what he thought about it. Pulls Jesus aside and says, now listen, it's not going to happen. Okay. It is, I'm going to make sure this doesn't happen. Now imagine that. Pulling God in the flesh aside and saying, I got to talk to you. Now I know you have this plan, but no, I disagree. I'm not going to let it happen. Now you can wonder when you think about it, why did Jesus look at Peter and say, get thee behind me, Satan? Now, I know we say that sometimes to our, I was going to say spouses, children, you know, because he was acting in a sense like Satan. That was Satan speaking through him. But the point is, Peter didn't like what he heard. And he had the guts or the gall to tell Jesus, no, I don't like that, and I'm not going to let that happen. But, of course, we know that it happened again. But think about Peter. You know, when Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? Peter knew exactly who he was. Peter nailed him theologically. But yet when it came to what Jesus was supposed to do, Peter messed up on that one because it didn't match up with what Peter wanted. Peter was looking at it from a human perspective and not a heavenly perspective. In essence, Peter said, I don't like that. Do you know, God's plan was more than just for Jesus to die on the cross. God's plan was for the salvation of mankind. And once we are saved, God has a better plan for each and every one of our lives. Not that our lives will be perfect, but he has a plan. Now the plan sometimes is, you know, where, you know, what he's going to have us do and that type of thing. But we know that from the scripture, that is God's plan for our life exactly. If we read something and we open up the Bible and the Bible says it, that's God's plan for us. We don't have to pray about it. Lord, is that what you want? No. I had someone tell me one time, lady came back there and she's was with her husband and she came and she says, I got to tell you something. God told me to divorce my husband and there's someone else he already has for me to marry. And I'm like, I mean, it's one thing to do that, but it's another thing to have the guts to stand up and just tell me he's point blank after church. God told me I got to divorce my husband. I've already got the next guy picked out. And I'm like, no, you don't. She's like, no, I prayed about it. I'm like, don't pray about it. Read about it right here in the scripture. That's not how God works. But people are like that. We're saved and we'll trust Jesus for our salvation. But then we kind of start figuring out what God's plan is for our life. We may not say it out loud, but with the way we live, we say, I don't like that. I don't like that. Do you know we don't have that option? And when Peter said that, he goes, get behind me, Satan. You know, we're never more like the devil when we're trying to forge our own will for our lives. We think about Satanism, right? It's some guy with a pentagram tattooed on his forehead, raiders on his neck. I'm sorry. I got to ask, is there anybody in our church still who's a Raider fan? Is there? Okay. You know, I'm sorry. I'm a Rams fan. I'm just joking. Not you. You probably drive a Ford and eat at McDonald's too, right? Just kidding. But we think that's what Satanism is, right? You know that's not Satanism? You know what Satanism is? It's Satanism is what he told Eve in the Garden of Eden. You just be your own God and you just decide what's right and wrong for your life. And that's what it is. And that's been Satan's doctrine all along. And so you think about it, whenever we look at God and say, I don't like your plan, in essence, what we're saying is, I'm buying into Satanism. I'm deciding what my life is all about. People talk much about following Jesus Christ. You really want to follow Jesus Christ? Then we can never go to him and say, I don't like that. I don't like it. If we're going to follow God's plan, then there's a couple thoughts I need to share with us this morning. Or if not, we're going to be the type of Christian that says, I don't like that. Do you know God's plan involves contrast? Look at verse 24. There's a contrast here. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now that's interesting, because as we look at our lives and we look at what people say is following Jesus today, these are not the things we think about. We make following Jesus and being a part of his plan so benign and so vanilla and so simple and so soft that we don't think of these things. But you have to understand this. If we're going to follow God's plan and we're going to follow his word, it is going to be in complete contrast to what we want to do. It's going to be complete opposite. Look what he tells them to do. He tells them you need to adjust. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Deny means to forget oneself, to lose sight of one's interest. Now, why is that adjustment? Because that is not how we live. We live with our own self-interest at the very forefront of our lives. We live with self-preservation right there, and anything that goes against that, we don't like. We are told on a constant basis in our society that the way to joy and happiness is just to follow your heart and do what you want. Do you know following your heart is a way to disaster? I don't care what Disney says. Yeah, just, sweetheart, let me help you with this decision in your life. Just follow your heart. Oh, your heart. You mean the heart that God says is desperately wicked? That heart. Oh, the one that God says is deceitful above all things. That heart. Listen, if you follow your heart, you're going to end up in a wrong spot. Our heart is not something we follow. We follow God's will. But we don't like that because that means we have to make an adjustment and we have to deny ourselves and keep ourselves completely open to God. But because we have this new generation in our society that the world has pushed on us, just do your own thing and what is best for you. We've raised a generation that's all they think about. And I know a lot of times, and I don't want to get on them, you know, because my generation was brats too. You know, the millennials, they're snowflakes. Well, they are. You know, they're this and that. You know why they are? You really want to know why they are? Parents. Little Mijo always got what he wanted. Hey, Mijo, what do you want for what do you want for dinner? Cotton candy. Well, bang. Get some sugar, get some air, mix it together. Boom. Look, you know, they want Pop-Tarts for dinner. But we never make them follow what they should do. Okay, little Mijo, what do you want to do? You know, it's a sad thing of life when coming to church. It's like, you want to come? I don't know. Let me ask Junior. Forget Junior. When I was a bus captain in many years ago in Bible college, I had kids that came on my bus that didn't like the bus ride. I didn't like the bus ride. It was 45 minutes on a bumpy freeway. I'd go to their house. Hey, I want to come. It's like, well, neither do I. Hey, let me talk to your parents. And I had some parents in the bus ride. How you doing? How was your week? Oh, it's great, blah, blah, blah. And the kids are like, I don't want to go. I'm like, shut up. You're going with Mr. Steve tomorrow. That's how that worked. You know, we don't have that anymore. We let the kid, do you understand? A kid is not old enough to decide what's best for them. But we've taught them all their life, do what you want, do what you want, do what you want. Then they get saved and we say, hey, Jesus said, deny yourself. And they're like, what? What is that all about? By the way, parents, learn this word. No. Dad, can I clean my room? No. Blame it. Yes. Okay. You know, he'll throw a fit. Now, I was at a store with somebody, one of the kids or something, and this lady, the kid's walking down the aisle, it's like, can I have that? And it's like, no. And the kids start throwing a tantrum. Mom said, I'll wait. I'm like, you know, now I probably would have drug him out to the car, but I'm like, yeah. It's like, go ahead, throw your tantrum. I'll just wait here until you're done. Okay? But as Christians, that's our society, and now we brought that into Christianity. So there's an adjustment there. We have to deny ourselves. By the way, if you really want joy and happiness in your life, it comes as a result of following God's will and doing what he says. See, you're looking for something that it's okay to look for. Happiness, joy, whatever. But it only comes from following God. We're just following the wrong people, aren't we? There's an adjustment. There's also an acceptance that's a contrast. And take up your cross. Take up means to take upon oneself, to take from another. Now, the cross isn't a reference to a reference to a general type of suffering. It means bear the life that comes with following Jesus. There is something that comes with following Jesus. Now, we want this wonderful bumper sticker Christianity where everybody in the world loves our Jesus and they loves us and they love us. Can I tell you something? That's not reality. And so you get these liberal guys, these liberal pastors you don't know, and I'm not going to give your name because I don't want you to know them. They'll get up on, you know, they'll be interviewed on CNN and all these stupid little things, and they'll ask them the tough questions, and they won't give an answer. They ask one guy, I won't tell who he is, but a huge church, very liberal. Some of you that listen to that garbage contemporary Christian music, you probably listen to their music. And they asked the pastor what he thought about abortion, and he wouldn't give an answer. He's like, well, I don't want to make a judgment. I want to hear their story. What story? There is no story. What do you need to hear? It's a baby. God says it's a baby. There's nothing to hear there. But you know what it is? We just don't answer the question. Because we want everybody to, and I'm not saying he should have jumped up on the table, kicked the microphone, and said, it's murder! He should have gave a straight answer. We're afraid to do that. Because we want, and I'm not saying we should have people hate us. Some people say, you know, man, I'm being persecuted for the faith. People hate me because of Jesus. No, they hate you because you're obnoxious. It has nothing to do with Jesus. It's your personality. You're rude, you know. But listen, I'm willing for someone to maybe not like us just because we are going to stand for the truth. And are we willing to take that upon us? And by the way, we don't live in a country where it's going to be bad for us. Now it's getting there, but come on. But we all want to be accepted. We want to be Christians and we want everything. Charles Spurgeon said this, "I have now concentrated all of my prayers into one, and that prayer is this, that I might die to self and live wholly to him." Martin Luther, he was the reformer. I'm not a great fan of his. He reformed, but not quite enough, but I understand the times in which he lived. He said, "A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing." He's right. Yes, we live in a country where we are not persecuted, but what if we did? Would that make a difference to you? I mean, we freak out if somebody work finds out we're a Christian and calls us altar boy. Choir boy. Persecuted for Christ. No. And then he says, he talks about the contrast in the company, being accompanied. And follow me. Follow means to joy, to accompany one as a disciple. By the way, you can't do this from a distance. You have to be right up there with Jesus Christ. Now, everybody's a Christ follower in our society. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christ follower. Okay, great. What does that mean? It means I go to church every now and then. Wow. Martyr for the faith. You know what a follower is? I'm right with you, Jesus. I'm with you every step of the way. I'm not bailing out on you. You know, grandma has a birthday party. I'm still with you. I'm gonna be right there, Lord. I'm following you. By the way, to follow him then meant something. I mean, just read through the New Testament. They suffered persecution to follow him. To because they weren't just like, well, that's the way he went. It's like, I'm linked up with him. I'm linked up with him. Are we accompanying Christ? Many people don't follow him because they don't like where to lead. Now, they'll follow him as long as he'll take them down the direction they want to go. But can I just tell you something? That's not going to happen. When we say we're following Jesus, you know what the average person is saying? I want him to tag along with me where I'm going. I want to live my own life, and I want to say, Jesus, here, let me just add you to the package here. But that doesn't work that way. When we follow Jesus, we're like, here, let me lay my stuff down. What do you want? So there's a contrast. Secondly, there's a commitment. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. It seems that the harder we try to hold on to our lives and what we want, the less likely you are to really keep it. See, that's the thing. A Christian who says, you know what, this Jesus stuff, I'm out on this, I'm gonna be saved, but I'm gonna do my own thing, you don't really have the life. You don't. I've been doing this long enough to see where that leads. I'm sorry, I have. I know it's true because the Bible says it, but I can tell you it's true from experience. You want the best chats to really have the life that you can look back when you get to the end of it and say, I have no regrets, you better follow Jesus. You better get in line with what he's doing. But that takes a commitment. And we don't like commitment. You know, we frown on commitment. Commitment is saying, you know, by the way, people say, you know, I'm just not one to commit. No, that's typically not the case. Usually you commit to the wrong things. That's just your excuse. I could look at your calendar. I could look at your checkbook. I could follow you around for a week, and I can find something you're committed to. We're always sold a bill of goods, and we commit to the wrong things. And when you hit your life to the wrong things, you're going to lose it. No. But the thing, you know, I'm okay with Jesus, you know, like, yeah, but all that stuff, I can't buy into it. Okay. So you want Jesus, but you're going to have your own life, but you're going to lose it. Following him is where you're going to get to where you want to be. Amen. We're not afraid of commitment. Here, let me say this, and we'll move to it. We're afraid of commitment that costs something. That's what we're afraid of. Commitment to cost something. You know, whenever Brother Boone is here, that's too bad. No, Brother Boone is here. He's leaving soon. When are you leaving, Brother Boone? Oh, hey, that's good. You're around for a little bit. But whenever Brother Boone or Brother Board or any of them come and we see the testimonies, do we get it? That for some of those folks, it costs them just to get saved. You see, the problem is we get cost very little, but the little that Jesus does ask, I'm supposed to do this? He expects this of me? Yeah, that's not very much. But we're afraid of the cost, even though it's not what we think it is. And even the cost isn't cost. If we only realize that which we think that we're giving up, which is really going to make us happy, isn't going to make us happy anyhow. It's not. So what we think we're really paying, we're not paying. If that makes sense. Because I totally don't know what I just said. We feel that commitment will take more than it gives. We feel that commitment will give more than it takes. Number three, contemplate. In other words, think for a minute. What does he tell us to think about? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and shall lose his own soul? That's sobering. What if you got everything you wanted? And that was in the context of the last verse, you're saving your life. What if you got everything you wanted on this earth and yet the payment for that was your soul? Is it worth it? It's not. Eternity is way better than this temporal earth. Say, well, I just wish I had, you know, a gazillion dollars. I'll be honest with you. I wish you did too, if you're a tither. If you're not a tither, I don't wish you had 20 bucks. No, I'm kidding. You know, Brother Myers, if I win the lotto, I'm going to buy you a new church. Listen, don't play the lotto, tithe, and we'll take care of the old church, okay? But, you know, because we feel that if we just had everything this world had to offer, we would be happy. Let me just ask you something. Do movie stars seem happy? They seem like some of the most bitter people that ever lived. Hey, check their marriage ratio. It is not good. Look at those two beautiful people. They're like going to be totally happy like forever. Yeah, and 3 months later, they're getting a divorce. Because all that comes with it is just not worth it. But we have to think about that. Remember the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus, and the question was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, there's nothing you can do. But when Jesus said, listen, you know, do this. Oh, I do that. He goes, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Now, he wasn't saying that's how you get to heaven. You know what he was saying? That's your God. That's what you're living for. And that's what's keeping you away from me, so you better get rid of it. And he said, he walked away sad. I wonder what he would say to us, because I think there's Christians that we have things even that to us kind of are drive a little wedge between us and God, and we're not willing to give it up. So think about it. Fourthly, I want you to see the compensation. And lastly, by the way, just so you know, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know what he's saying? There is a payoff. You can live just for this earth. Now, the worst case scenario is that there's the person who will not trust Christ as their Savior because of this world, and they lose their soul for all eternity. But what about us who are saved? Do you know we can be saved and we can live in such a way that we are forsaking blessings and rewards in eternity? You know, we talk sometimes like, when we get to heaven, we'll get to sit down with the Apostle Paul and talk to him. But Joseph, I don't know if I want to. So, how was church for you? You know, what happened? You were there. Well, we dressed up funny. You know, the song leader looked like a demented taxi driver. Wow, that's persecution. How about you, Paul? I got stoned. Really? You were on drugs? No, they threw rocks at me. Right? The illustration a pastor gave here years ago, he's like, you know, you're talking to Stephen and like, how'd you get to heaven? He goes, oh, you know, they threw stones on me and killed me. It's like, how'd you get here? Yeah, cholesterol. You know. What about eternity? There's a reward. Now, we're not serving for what we get, but can I just tell you something? Serving Jesus Christ pays on this earth, but I'm just going to tell you something. It pays a lot better in the world to come. What are you giving up for what you could get later? By the way, it'll be nice, and I hope we have, you know, you get to heaven, and there's people there that say, hey, thank you. By the way, but we're going to meet a lot of them up there like, we didn't win them to Christ. We'll say, hey, remember your church? You guys sent these, and you paid. You gave money in the offering plate. I'm part of that. Hey, remember? You're out walking one day with your church was out and you talked to me about Jesus Christ and I got saved that day. Thank you. I don't even know the guy who won me to Christ. Just after the church service, he took me outside. I'll meet him someday. God will hopefully give me, hey, thank you for being faithful to church on that Sunday. By the way, not just him, a guy one time that witnessed to me on a bus stop. I was waiting for a bus stop and Jesus freak. Here we go. You know, and I already knew the gospel because Pastor Esposito told me. He wasn't Pastor Esposito then, he was Joe. And the guy, hey, and I'm thank you for talking to me. And I didn't trust Christ, but you know what? I heard it. And it was there. I don't even know who the guy is, but it's like, hey, you witnessed to me. You know, there's gonna be a lot of good things there. Yep. Living for Christ on this earth pays. Yes, sir. Now, what's the whole point? I have no clue. Just kidding. Here's the point. We miss out on all these things because we look at what God wants and we say, I don't like it. And by the way, I hear things sometimes like, I don't like it. But I know it's best. And I trust that God knows what is best. And I'm like, you know what, Lord? I'm on board with you. Let's not have cafeteria Christianity. Now look, I go somewhere and I didn't like vegetables. I didn't eat them growing up. When I got to college, I'm like, that's enough of this. I got to start eating this stuff. So I eat it. Now I'm not excited about a lot of it, but I'm like, you put on my, I'll eat it. No big deal. But now if you ask me, hey, what would you like for dinner? Would you like, you know, these vegetables or those? Like candy. I thought Snickers was a vegetable. I really did. Maybe in heaven. But you know what? Sometimes the things that are best for us, we don't see that they're best for us. You said, Peter, what was up with Peter? You pulled Jesus aside and said, what are you thinking, Jesus? I'm not going to let that happen. We criticize him, but the fact of the matter, I know I've done it. I guarantee you've done it where it's like, I don't like that. We don't have to pull God aside, but we're like, I don't like it. It's always best to follow his plan. Because you know where Jesus' plan led to? Death on the cross, salvation, life, and that more abundantly. But the plan had to be followed. What about you today? You like the kid? By the way, you know, the kids, they won't eat anything that's good for them. Let's follow the plan. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute.